Hello? I must be going. I cannot say I came to say I must be going. I'm glad I came, but just the same, I must be going. La la.
But my place, you must stay. If you should go away, you spoil this lobby. I am going.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, with Dad's Point of View. In case you're wondering, that is late and very great Groucho Marx. You can email me at bruce@brucesallan.com. That's Bruce and Sallan, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. That's S like in Sam's. Pastor Drew Sams, who is back with us today, thankfully. Pastor Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 5 years, and he's also pursuing and maybe finishing doctoral work at George Fox Seminary. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Westlake Village, California. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Oh, it's good to be back. I am officially ABD, all but dissertation.
Wow.
I'm on the home stretch.
Good for you. Good for you. We missed you last week.
I know. It was a great time away in class, but I did miss you.
Okay. Well, you know, there are phones in Oregon.
There are. However, I was on Orcas Island, which is off the coast of Washington, and actually where I was, there was no phones.
All right, I accept the excuse. I don't believe it, but yeah. I accept it.
I had no cell phone coverage. It was really odd.
That must have actually felt liberating.
It was nice. There was one location I had to go to get internet access.
That's funny. When my son goes to summer camp, they're not allowed to have cell phones, but of course all the kids bring them, but they don't get cell reception unless he hikes up to the top of a mountain. And he'll do that once or twice, sneak away with the phone just to say hello if he gets a little homesick. I'm talking about Aaron, my younger one. Anyway, what do you say about parental hypocrisy, and are there any biblical examples, passages, or stories that come to your mind?
Well, there's some of the, in the New Testament, Jesus talks about, he actually is talking about the Pharisees of the law, and he talks about them being hypocrites, and other places where he says, you know, let your yes be yes, and your no be no, and he uses this metaphor of kind of a forked tongue. We can say one thing and at the same time do something else.
And that's like what I say, walk the walk and talk the talk.
Exactly, exactly. And there are, you know, so many examples in Scripture, I think, of what not to do of people who are broken, where they'll, you even alluded to it in some of your writing in this article, you know, famous patriarchs who are making mistakes and telling their kids possibly not to do something, yet they were wrapped up in those mistakes themselves.
By the way, when I used Abraham as an example, I was just pulling that from the seat of my pants. So
That was pure conjecture there.
Yeah. So I do wonder if you have actually some more accurate and specific ones than the pull from the seat of my pants one that I did.
Well, it was really the biggest one, like I said, was in the New Testament when Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. It's actually in Matthew 23:13. It says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." And there's multiple passages. There's one in Matthew 15 where it says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And I think that was a great line that really sums up hypocrisy. You know, people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And you can apply that to anything, you know. Parents who say things with their lips, but their hearts are so far from what they're saying.
Well, or say one thing but do another, which is really my whole point. You know, you talk one thing, but your actions say another. So who cares what you say if your actions are not backing them up, which is kind of taking Jesus' words and turning them around, but still the same inherent meaning.
Yeah, there's one last metaphor Jesus uses. In Matthew 23, he says, "You hypocrites, you clean the outside of your cups and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." And he says, on the outside you're clean, but on the inside there's the selfishness and self-indulgence and greed. And sometimes, as parents and even just as people in general, on the outside, we might say something, you know, don't do this, don't do that, I don't do that, I don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And on the outside, we're clean, so to speak, quote-unquote, but on the inside, truly, we're wrapped up in the exact things we're speaking against.
Do you actually know these quotes by heart, or did you prepare them?
No, I prepared them. I wish I...
Are you one of those biblical experts that can quote a lot of Scripture?
I'd say a lot in both Old Testament and New Testament, but when it comes down to specifics like hypocrisy, which is honestly a topic that I don't talk about much, I don't think about much, unfortunately, because, you know, I'm sure there's many times I've been hypocritical. So I had to look these up, and I found these, and I've got them right in front of me, but... There are some that I kind of carry with me that bring me peace, and give me comfort, give me direction throughout my day as I make decisions.
Well, also, I imagine there must be a regular group that you keep in your hip pocket for congregants in need with particular problems. I can't imagine that any clergy doesn't have that pocket list of sayings from the Bible.
Yeah, especially in counseling situations or somebody's trying to, you know, figure out a decision. Yeah, definitely. I try to memorize those more than some lyrics of songs that are on the radio these days.
But you don't need those lyrics. That's funny. Did you know that there's a biblical spelling bee? I just read about it, that it's not spelling, but it's a biblical, like a spelling bee in which the contestants, and they can win up to $100,000, are tested on, you know, Matthew 24.7 or however you do it. Some 10-year-old won it recently, I believe, but it's a growing and evidently a popular contest. I thought that was fascinating. That kids could potentially memorize the whole Bible. It's astonishing to me. I've known rabbis that just seem to have so much at the tips of their tongue. I marvel at their encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible and Scripture and the Talmud. I don't care how much you study. I can't imagine keeping all that in my head.
Yeah, it truly is amazing. And my understanding is part of that rabbinical school and the education is that there's points where they have to learn even the entire Torah. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Word for word?
I know they study it.
It's truly amazing, though, to...
Well, you can spend hours debating three words in the Torah, and I've been in biblical discussions like that, and it's tedious to me, but it's also fascinating that the different ways in which it could be interpreted, especially, of course, because we're speaking English, and it was written in Aramaic or versions of Hebrew or whatever you want to believe. So right away, you're talking about a translation potential confusion or misinterpretation. So it's very interesting. We're nearly out of time. I'm just wondering, do you have any reference from your actual students that come to mind regarding the topic of parental hypocrisy?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I have found a handful of students who have seen what their parents are doing. Let's take drinking, for example. There's a dad who's had multiple DUIs. He's out of work right now. And his son knows this, and his dad's telling him, don't drink, don't drink, don't drink. He doesn't see it as hypocrisy, and he's told me this. He says, I feel like my dad is in such a bad place that he's hoping that I won't end up where he is, and I've seen how bad it's gotten. And he told me he even had to call into the CHP. He had to call in his dad for DUI, unfortunately, one time.
Might have saved his dad's life.
I think he did, and I think he knows that. Tremendous difficulty to go through that situation. But
wow, what
there's an example
kid.
Of wow. Like, yeah, for a high schooler, and so for him to see that and to not do what his dad's doing, I think is truly remarkable.
And in many ways, it's kind of learning from the bad modeling behavior of the parent. That's not the way I would recommend parents teach their children, but in this case, it sounds like with sound support elsewhere, meaning in his church, he's getting help dealing with this beyond just his immediate family.
And Bruce, that's the key. He's got great teachers in his life, some great leaders in the church, some coaches. His workplace, his employers are great, so he's got a great foundation that surrounds that one hypocritical dad.
Very interesting. We are out of time. Please tell our listeners where they can find you, Pastor Drew.
Yes, I am blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com.
Oh, come on. Give me that song version again.
Oh, I'm going to have to make it up on the spot. wewillsinganewsong.com.
I like it. Considering you are recovering from 102.7 fever, I am very proud of how wonderful you were for this segment. Thank you, Pastor Drew.
It's good to be up and talking. It's been a while this week.
All right. Well, you feel better, and I will see you tomorrow since we're going to have a short visit. I look forward to it.
As well.
Okay. It's time for another break. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen or email me at brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Pastor Sam's. This is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. Rollin', rollin', rollin'.